message today is developed in Christ, growing in grace. Now, we are continuing our series-ish. We're still talking about, are you the real deal or a counterfeit? Because we were, as we said about a couple weeks ago in 2 Timothy, Paul is telling Timothy about in the last days, this is what you're going to see. You're going to see lovers of themselves. Those are, you know, wicked to parents, murderers, this, that, all this stuff. And so we have Christians walking around, and I say that loosely. We have folk acting like they're Christian. I'll say it this way. I've traveled to Mexico a lot, and sometimes there's Dolce & Gabbana cologne. And then you grab it and you spray it, and it smells good for 5 seconds, and you find out, that's a counterfeit. Or, you know, you'll go to, I remember being in the border towns, and we'll go into the stores and we'll buy silver. Oh, yeah, hey, senor, yeah, it's silver. Really? You buy it at a good price, and you're excited. You put it on, a ring, a necklace, a bracelet, and a couple days later, why am I turning green? It was a counterfeit. And so many times we have Christians that are counterfeit. They look, and that's what in Timothy it says, they're having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. So you have these Christians who can put on the mask. Hey, how you doing, brother? How you doing, sister? Amen. Suzuki Kawasaki. They look the part, but then they're total counterfeits. And so you might be saying, well, Josh, why are we talking about all this fundamental foundational stuff first? Because we got to rebuild the foundation. Because a lot of times, the foundation that was laid over years, you come to find out, wait a minute, I got some rebar hanging out of this foundation right here. There's a crack in this foundation. And so just as you can say that our church is starting from scratch again, which I'm totally excited about. More people, more problems. I'll just tell you that right now. So we're starting on a foundation to make sure that our foundation is strong, built on the rock, which is Jesus. So today we're going to be talking about, and Laura was at everybody's church, so you're going to hear a few nuggets from Pastor Daryl. But as he was preaching, man, I was digging into stuff. I was like, ooh, I didn't see. Ooh, this is what that says in Hebrew. Ooh, okay. Ooh, in Greek. Ooh. And so the Lord started dealing with me with development and developing in Christ and growing in grace. So growth is a sign of life. Anything alive is meant to grow and develop. I have Shiloh, who's 3 years old. And I'm glad because he's alive. That means he should be developing and growing. I would be very upset 10 years down the line, and he's still 3 years old. Still can't take care of himself, still wearing diapers. Wait! He should be developing and growing. But there's a lot of Christians who don't grow. They're still baby Christians. So the Apostle Paul, writing to the church writing to the Corinthian church, urged them not only to receive Christ, but to develop and grow in him. Development in Christ is not optional. It's essential. It's not something like, if I feel like developing in Christ, then I'll do it. It is not. It is totally essential. You must develop in Christ. Just as a child is expected to grow in maturity, so every believer is expected to develop spiritually. Again, I'm glad that my children, Caleb being my oldest, is developing and maturing into a young man. That he doesn't do the same stupid stuff that he used to do when he was 2-3 years old. He works at a gym now. Good thing he doesn't wear diapers. Caleb's here, so I'm just going to embarrass him. So good thing that he has started to mature and to develop as he grows older. And that's expected of him. He's not supposed to be 20 years old, still in Pampers. He's supposed to be getting to a point of development to where now he can move out on his own and be able to take care of himself and not burn the place down, kill himself, and all the crazy stuff. Because I guarantee you, Shiloh can't live by himself. He's still, hey, Daddy, what are we eating today? Daddy, what clothes am I going to wear? So the Christian life is not static. It's an unfolding journey and a flourishing growth. If you have your Bibles, I want you to open them up to Colossians chapter 2, and we're going to read verse 6 and 7. That's going to be our passage of Scripture for tonight. If you've gone to Revelation, you've gone too far. It's in between Genesis and Revelation. Colossians chapter 2. Verse 6. And it says this, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, so and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. So I want to draw your attention to three words tonight. The first word that we're going to tackle is development. Now, the word develop means to change or cause to change and to become larger, stronger, or more impressive, successful, or advance. It also means to rise and then increase or progress to a more complex state. Therefore, development begins when we receive Christ. Because as we receive Christ, he's transforming us into a new creation. He is transforming us to be more impressive than the state that we used to be at. Before you knew him, you were totally raggedy. So was I. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. So before Christ, the only thing we could look forward to is death. So development, when we put our trust in Christ, that's where our development starts to happen. So why should we want to develop in Christ? I'm glad you asked me that question. Well, first off, he anchors you in truth. Jesus is the firm anchor that anchors us in truth. Jesus, the Bible says, that I am the way, the truth, and the life. Well, Josh, the Bible says that love is love and that you can love. Jesus is the truth. Well, the Bible says, we can do this. I've heard that. People misquote Scripture. Well, the Bible says that. That's not what that means. Quit taking that out of context. You see, when you are anchored in Christ, he anchors you with truth, that you get to a point that when you hear lies, your spirit starts to say, wait, hold up. There's something wrong with that. Your spirit starts getting agitated because your spirit starts knowing the difference between a truth and a lie. So when you hear pastors and church folks say, oh, you can do whatever you want. You've been saved by grace. You can live any way you want because it was taken care of on the cross. Your spirit should say, wait, hold up. I can't live any old way because we're called to holiness. Why else do you want to be developed in Christ? Is that he equips you for life's trials. He equips you for the challenges and trials that you will go through in life. I can't imagine, and I pray this never happens to me, to be a father or a parent and lose a child. But it's only because of Christ that Pastor Daryl, Miss Sharon, everybody's church, and the family are able to go through this. Because I know other folks who don't know Jesus or have a very shaky foundation and have lost people and totally lost it. They go into a depression, they break down, commit suicide. I've seen what happens without Jesus. I'm not saying that the trials don't come, but what I will say is that with Jesus, he helps you through. You're not walking through these trials all alone. You don't think it wasn't hard for my parents when my dad had the stroke, running a ministry, running a church? Oh my goodness, what are we gonna do now? It's only through the grace of God in Jesus, because they were anchored in truth, they understood that everything will be all right. He shapes you into his likeness. He shapes you into his likeness so that you start becoming what he says, how he says it. You start doing how he do. You move like he moves. You act like he moves. So in other words, when you're driving down the road, and we live in San Antonio, and one of those bad drivers cuts you off, you don't, giving the one finger salute, or getting upset, or when your spouse says something crazy, you don't fly off the handle. When your kids act dumb, you don't fly off the handle. When you're at Jesus, when you start to conform into his will, into his likeness, you start acting different. You start talking different. You start thinking different. So the things that used to upset you don't upset you. The things that used to bring you pleasure doesn't bring you pleasure anymore. And you start acting as if, or you start acting, I'll say it this way, you start becoming like Jesus. Another part of development is that it will cause your life to overflow in fruitfulness and thanksgiving. Man, we should be a people that are thankful. Have you ever been to a so-called Christian conference or a church and it's dead in there? Everybody's all, hey, how you doing? How you doing? I'm just here. Thank God by his strength, I'm going to make it. Why are you acting like that? You should be excited. Because when he develops you, it causes overflow in fruitness and thanksgiving. And your actions, you now have an attitude of gratitude instead of a Debbie Downer or a Negatron. So the Hebrew word for development, it's called hitpathut. HITPATHUT. It means growth, evolution, or expansion. It's often used in the context of this word. It's often used in context with personal development, progress, or a gradual unfolding. Now, the Hebrew word for this is going to be pei, tev, and chet. Told you I'm going to go deep with y'all. Well, don't worry, it'll make sense in here in a sec. So the three root letters is pei, P-E-H. It means mouth or opening. This is a new one. I haven't talked on pei in a while. Actually, I haven't talked pei yet. It means mouth or opening. Then you have tev, T-A-V. It means mark, covenant, or cross. And then the last letter is chet, C-H-E-T. It means a fence, you guys heard this before, a fence, enclosure, or life. Now together, in Hebrew, what it means is opening a way into life. In other words, something once closed is now being opened and expanded. In other words, before Christ, death was the only thing you had looking. Now, because you are in Christ, you're a new creation. Now a new life is opened up to you. Now you have eternal life. Now you have the blessings and the covenant promises that are now part of following Him. This is the opening of development. God makes a way for new life. Development has to be deliberate or on purpose. You must want to do it. You must want to develop. But there's a lot of folks that don't want to be developed. I remember playing basketball in high school and your coach would just start ripping you up. Blankety blank this, you didn't do that, you didn't do this. I mean, just going for it. Some people are like, I don't feel like getting yelled at. Some people don't like coming to church because I don't like the way the pastor talked to me. I don't feel like getting yelled at. I don't feel like the way he talked to me. We got to get to a point where we want to be developed. You got to get to a point where you make a conscious decision to say, Lord, I want you to develop me. He's going to be like, oh, yeah. Give you an illustration. I remember a few years ago, we were at Tractor Supply Store. I don't know what we're looking at. And we go by and there's all these chicks. And they're cheep, 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 cheep. And they're all in the pen, you know, during Easter and stuff. So we had the bright idea, hey, let's get a chicken. We don't know why. Just, hey, let's just buy a chicken. So we get a chick. And they're like, well, you can't get one. You got to get a minimum of four. So we're like, all right, let's get four chicks. So we get four chicks. We bring them home. And we're just like, well, we don't know what's going to happen with them. Let's just... I don't know. We're going to have eggs. Hallelujah. We'll have eggs. We really enjoyed them. You know, they pooped all over the place, made our yard stink, and, you know, that was okay. They did eat all the bugs, so we didn't have a lot of bugs in the backyard. And so the reason we got it is we were like, you know what? Let's just start having eggs. You know how much money we would save instead of going to the store and buying, you know, all the gross eggs. We can have organic eggs. You know, we fed. We knew what our chickens were eating. We knew what was coming out. It's going to be good food, good eggs. So I remember as the chickens grew older, they started laying eggs. And so a freshly laid egg looks like it has potential. Now, we just had four females. That's all we wanted. We didn't need a boy because we're like, we're not making more. We just need eggs. So a freshly laid egg looks like it has potential. But unless it is fertilized and then incubated, it will never become a chick. And then it will move into a place of maturity where it becomes a chicken. An unfertilized egg has no life inside. No matter how much time passes, the egg stays the egg. Matter of fact, what's going to happen is going to deteriorate. It's going to get funky. There's a few eggs that got knocked around and we didn't know. We walk outside, whoo, what is that smell? And we're like looking, we're like, what? It's something over here. And we'd find an egg that fell behind something, or one of the chickens decided to go, we're gonna go lay an egg behind the shed back there where nobody can get to. And it starts to smell, it dies. But a fertilized egg contains life. But that life must be nurtured in the warmth and incubation to grow and eventually hatch. In the same way, not every person who hears about Jesus is truly born again. Without the seed of new life, the Spirit of God, they remain unchanged. But even those who are born again, they have to be fertilized by the Spirit. They must be nurtured. They must be discipled and developed in Christ. Without the daily warmth of God's presence, His Word, and fellowship, the new life inside will never fully grow into maturity. So let's get back. Development in Christ is not a one-time event, but a daily unfolding. To walk means to progress, steady movement, and step-by-step growth. So just as development means to open up, our walk of faith opens us deeper into trust and obedience. Is everybody following along? Everybody good? No one's lost yet. This development doesn't happen by accident. It requires walking the right spiritual pathway. Isn't it interesting how in Scripture it says narrow is the road? So if it says narrow is the road, that must mean that there's a few roads. There's some roads that are big. But the right road is very narrow. Not everybody wants to go. So development doesn't happen by accident. It requires walking the right spiritual pathway. Prayer, the Word, and discipleship are the disciplines that nurture our growth, keeping the seed of new life alive and unfolding until Christ is fully formed in us. Hallelujah, anyhow. After development, there needs to be growth. Growth is the second word that I want to show you tonight. Growth in the dictionary means the process of becoming larger and more mature through natural development. In Hebrew, the word is gidul. G-I-D-U-L. It means growth, increase, raising, cultivation, nurturing. It comes from the Hebrew word or the Hebrew root word, G-D-L. What does that mean, Josh? Just give me a second, I'll get to you. It means to grow, enlarge, magnify, and I know Laura's going to remember this from last Sunday, become great. So while Hit Pat Hut emphasizes unfolding, development, opening, Gaidul emphasizes growth, nourishing, and becoming great. So going back to ancient Hebrew, the Hebrew word, Gaimel. We're going to go through the three Hebrew letters. Gaimel, it means camel, movement, lifting up, or carrying. It suggests lifting up or nourishing. The second letter is transition to a greater stage. And then the last letter is lamed, L-A-M-E-D. It means staff, authority, teaching. It means guidance, direction, sheep herding. Laura's like, Josh, can you teach me Hebrew? I am right now. You got two new letters, Gamel and lamed. We all know Dilet, that's door. Now together, this means growth is being lifted up, move through a doorway into greater authority and purpose. I'm going to say that again. Gaimel, The let lambed, it means growth is being lifted up, moved through a doorway into greater authority and purpose. This is gadol. The believer is nurtured into greatness, maturity, and faithfulness. Growth comes not by striving, but being rooted, grounded and rooted in Jesus. Think of it like this. The Hebrew word for development is the seed breaking open. That's development. And then gadol is the plant growing tall. That's the increase. Does that make sense to everybody? If anyone has any questions, speak now or forever hold your peace. Told you, I want to make sure that you guys get this and you understand scripture and what is really being said. In other words, true growth does not stop at inward development. It overflows outwardly. Growth produces perspective, stability, and maturity that expresses themselves in a life of praise and thanksgiving. Just as a tree not only stands tall, but it also provides shade and fruit. The growing Christian blesses others and glorifies God. Spiritual growth is the evidence of life in Christ. And it is our call to keep pressing forward, becoming more like him day after day. You see, Paul gives us a few practical ways to grow. Now's your practical. A few ways that you can, or practical ways to grow, is stay rooted in the word. Daily scripture reading and meditation deepens your roots. Psalms chapter 1, verse 2 and 3, it says, it talks about the blessed man meditates day and night and becomes like a fruitful tree. When you stay rooted in the word, grounded in the word, it deepens your relationship with him. It deepens your understanding of who he is. It deepens your understanding of how you should conduct yourself as a believer. Because just because you're saved don't mean that you get to act any old way you want to act. When you go to a job, do you act any old way that you want to act? When Miss Cindy's at work, when she answers the phone, yeah, what do you want? She might want to, but we'll get her in trouble. But you got to stay rooted in the word. So in other words, there's a way that we conduct ourselves. There's even a way that we talk to God. Bet you didn't know that. You know why didn't I? Most people don't know that because we got T-shirt. Jesus is my homeboy. We got folks who are, oh, Daddy God's house. Dude, that just, woo! I heard the heart of the Father a couple weeks ago. I'm sitting, and I'm just having a good time in worship, and I'm just praying, and I'm listening to a song, Glory, Kavod, in Hebrew, worship song, and I'm just like, oh, man, I'm just getting it. And I just start weeping, and I hear the Lord say, now you're speaking my language. I said, I had to sit back and think about it. I was like, oh, okay, because I'm learning Hebrew? Oh, okay. That's not what that means. There's a way that we conduct ourselves and we talk to God. Have you ever heard people, oh, man, I'm just, you know, hey, something happens. Hey, throw a prayer to the big guy in the sky. That's not how you talk to him. There's a way that we talk. Now, granted, well, Josh, Abba means daddy. Yeah, I get that, okay? We can use father. We can use master. And we wonder why we think that he doesn't hear us. It's not that he doesn't hear us. We're not talking his language. So when you're rooted in the word, you start learning how to talk his language because he has a language. And if you don't speak his language, he doesn't understand. Not that he doesn't understand. You understand what I'm saying. It's like when I go to Mexico and my minimal Spanish, I'll say something stupid and they're like, ha ha, gringo. Why is there a misinterpretation? Because I don't know the language. Now, when I say stuff in Spanish, the few words that I know, I mean, I can pray in Spanish. That's I don't know why I could do that. Pray for healing. Oh, you got the Lord? Mas the Lord? No, mas the Lord? Ah, okay, okay. Gloria a Dios. When I say that, they understand, oh, we know what you're saying. It makes sense. There's no loss of, or you know how you have, oh, a phrase is said, oh, it's lost in translation. There's no loss in translation. So when we're rooted in the Word and we read Scripture daily, we meditate, it deepens our roots because now we know how to communicate and talk to God. We don't talk to Him any other way or any old way. We don't wake up in the morning, open your Bible, hey, dog, I just want to shout out to you. We don't talk to Him like that. You come with a reverence, Father, Master, Heavenly Father. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Another way is it nourishes, another practical way is nourishes through prayer. Prayer isn't about asking, it's communion with God. Growth happens as you learn to align, here we go again, your will with His will. Prayer isn't about asking, it's communion with God. So many times we get into our prayer closet or we go to pray and we become, gimme, 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 my name is Jimmy, I'll take all that you'll give me. God, I need, God, I need, God, I need. And He's like, would you just shut up? You talk too much. I say it because I've been there before. God, I need this, I need this. He already knows what you need. So why don't you stop asking what you want and start saying, God, what is your will today? Where do you want me to go? Josh, that sounds weird. Yeah, ask them. Do I need to go to the gym today? Do I need to go to this Walmart? Do I need to go to that Walmart? Do I need to fill up my... Josh, that seems pretty. If he's your shepherd, a shepherd leads you. So he's not going to go, hey, I need you to go over to this Walmart. You go over there and find out there's an active shooter. I'm just throwing out there. There's been times if we've done stuff like, hey, we need to go over here. God said, eh. We ain't going that way. And then we come to find out something happened. We're like, ooh, thank you, Jesus. So you get nourished through prayer where instead of asking, God, I need, God, I need, God, I need, what is your will? Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And again, growth happens when you learn to align your will with His will. A lot of times we have our own will. What's your own will? I need more money. Need a new car. I need a spouse. Need a husband. Need a wife. Need kids. Need this. God's like, dude, that's not my will. I'll even throw this one out. This is gonna throw some people. It's gonna throw some people. God, I need healing. Yeah, that's not my will for you right now. That doesn't make sense. Paul had a thorn in his side. And it made him better for who he is. Or it made him a better man because of the thorn. He said, God, if you take this way. He said, I'm going to give this thorn to you. I'm just going to keep going. Because I do have a message on that. We're going to get into that. Walk in obedience. Another practical way. Is growth isn't knowledge alone. It's putting God's word into practice. Man, I know folks, I know pastors who can quote A to Z, Genesis, the Revelation, but yet they got a side piece. They steal the church's money. Or shall I say they steal your money. They slander people, they talk, they gossip, they do all this stuff. Growth isn't knowledge alone. It's putting God's word into practice. James 1:22 says, be doers of the word, not only hearers. Have you ever, as a parent, you ever had your children who are just hearers only? Hey, go clean your room. Okay. 10 minutes later, why is the room not clean? I heard you. No, you didn't. You got to be doers. So when God says, you do. You don't just hear, you do. I want you to love more. Yes, sir. I need you to pray for this person. Okay. I need you to do that. And you do it. Where's Jaden? Okay, maybe my kids know. You've heard me say this enough. All execution, no interpretation. Anybody know what that means? All execution, no interpretation. It means you execute first, and the interpretation comes while you're executing what God says. It's that simple. But when God says stuff, we want to, hey, okay, wait, hold up, God. Why am I doing this? We're doing the who, what, when, why, where. Why am I doing it? What am I doing it? What's it going? We had all these questions. God said, I just need you to trust me. I need you to move from San Antonio and move here. Well, I mean, I don't know nobody there, so let me pray about it. Have you ever heard that churchese? That church lingo? Hey, brother, I need something. Let me pray about that. Boy, you ain't praying about nothing. I know you ain't going to help me. Sorry, I don't know where that came from. But growth isn't knowledge alone. I know so many folks. I remember me and Tiff first started years ago. We were junior high youth leaders, and I remember this one. We do this thing called sword drills. Anybody been in church long enough? You know sword drills? Everybody's like, oh, yeah, I remember sword. And I remember this kid, man, he would always beat everybody to the scripture. He was always winning. You remember who it was? I can't remember his name, but he'd always, all right, Psalms 35. And he would read the verse or whatever. You know, John 18. This is what it says. I mean, he'd smoke everybody. And everybody used to get all, you know, they used to get all mad. He's always winning, blah, 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 blah. He had a bunch of Bible knowledge. But was he putting all the stuff that he was spewing out, was he putting it into action? Was he loving people better? Was he honoring his parents? Was he walking in kindness? Was he walking in the fruit of the Spirit? So just because you know Greek, Hebrew, Latin, just because you know how to break down Hebrew, so yeah, I'm talking to y'all. Don't get a big head. Ooh, our pastor teaching us Hebrew. We're breaking down Greek. Don't get a big head, because if you're not doing what this says, knowing Greek, knowing Hebrew doesn't benefit you anyway. You got to do what this book says. That means there should be fruit that is evident in your life. So when you hear, you also do. There's also fellowship with believers. Community strengthens development. Isolation stunts it. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25 talks about stirring one another up to love and good works. I remember there's a bunch of people, I mean, I know, you know, a bunch of folk that like to say, hey, we don't go to church because we are the ecclesia, and the ecclesia is here, and the Bible says if two or more gather, he is in their midst. So we just go home and we just do church. Do you know what ecclesia really means? Do you know what that scripture, do you really know what that means? Because what you're telling me is I don't need accountability. Because that's what it really comes down to. You come to church and you beating the dog out your wife, and your wife got a big old black eye. Joe, why Cindy got a big old black eye? He's not beating his wife, okay, y'all? He loves his wife. But there's accountability, because I can see. But if you're at home, you can do all the crazy stuff you want to do, and there's no accountability. Pastors get into this. I don't need a community of pastors. I'm a pastor. I went to seminary. I'm sorry. Seminary pastors know better. I went to Bible school. I went to online Bible school. And I know the scriptures. But I don't need anybody else. I don't need accountability. So I'm going to get up here Sunday after Sunday, and I'm going to spew stuff out because I don't have community. Yeah, buddy. I've heard some of those pastors who don't have community. I have accountability. Pastor Daryl is my accountability. My dad is, Pastor Marty is my accountability. He may not be able to talk, but he'll tell you. I'll say something wrong. Hey, yeah, no. Okay, Dad. Oh, my dad had a stroke like 10 years ago, but we talk all the time. Yeah, he can't talk like you and me, but we talk. So, but he's my accountability. Pastor Daryl has pastors that he's accountable to, because when you have community, they keep you safe. They keep you on the straight and narrow. They keep you the right way you're supposed to go. But when you're isolated, doing your own thing, you can say whatever you want to say, and you'll kill people. What do you mean, Josh? You got pastors killing folk? Yeah. Day in and day out. From the pulpit. I won't say what church, but they'll sit here and say, it's okay to be married. They don't say it like this, but being nice. It's okay to be married and have a side piece somewhere else because you are forgiven. Yeah, they're pretty much leading by example. That's why I say, oh, it'll be nice. Show me that in scripture. Show me that. Well, Josh, the patriarchs had multiple wives. Yeah, just because they had multiple wives doesn't mean that God was okay with that. Now, as we go through Genesis, you'll understand that statement. It'll make more sense to you. So just keep on trucking on Thursday nights at 7 o'clock. So community strengthens development. Isolation stunts it. So here's the deal. Development and growth will produce gratitude. Gratitude is the third word that I want to show you tonight. And I'm almost done. See, I wasn't going to keep you long tonight. Development and growth will produce gratitude. Gratitude is the third word that I want to show you tonight. Paul says that we will abound in thanksgiving or gratitude in the Amplified. As we grow, gratitude flows naturally, for we recognize that all we are and all we have is by God. Therefore, true development and growth will naturally produce gratitude. Let me explain that with scripture and principle. Growth opens your eyes to grace. Now, remember a few weeks ago, we talked on grace. Grace isn't the green light to sin, but it's the power to stay away from sin. Makes sense. Everybody understand grace? So the more we develop spiritually, the more we see just how much God has done for us. Maturity helps us recognize that nothing we have is earned. It's all grace. That breath you're breathing right now, you didn't do anything for it. It's grace. That car you got, I guarantee you, it ain't you. It's grace. Well, Josh, I could, nah. Let God take his hand off you and see what happens. That job you got, grace. That spouse you have, grace. The health you got, grace. So growth opens our eyes to grace. This awareness produces thanksgiving. That you get to a place of gratitude. Oh, thank you, Jesus, that I have breath in my lungs. Thank you, Jesus, I can go to the gym and work out. Well, for me, I can go back to the gym now. I ain't got a kidney stone anymore. Thank you, Jesus, because I had nothing to do to get that kidney stone out. It didn't matter what I tried, this, that, natural, whatever. It wasn't until the doctor put me under and got that stone out. Colossians chapter 2, verse 7, it ties growth, rooted, built up, established, directly to abounding in thanksgiving. In other words, gratitude is the fruit of growth. Another one, number two, is growth builds perspective. Immature believers often focus on what they lack. Mature believers, on the other hand, focus on what God has provided. Oh, man, I don't got a girlfriend. I don't have a boyfriend. I don't have a good enough house. I don't have a car. I don't make enough money. Have you ever seen those? These are Christian folk. They sit and complain all day. I don't have. I don't have the new iPhone. I use it for ministry. Why is he looking at me? Yeah, because I said, oh man, I need a new iPhone. Not the 17. I'm going to pass up on that one. But immature believers often focus on what they lack. Mature believers, on the other hand, focus on what God has provided. And I'm thank you for my house. I'm thank you for my children. I thank you for the breath that I have. I thank you for what I have. I may not be making doctor money. There might be days where I'm sweating, whoo, hope I pay bills this month. But because I've been doing this for long enough, I just like, Lord, you always keep continuing to pay my bills, even though on paper, don't know how I'm going to pay bills this month, don't know how I'm going to pay ministry bills, don't know how it's going to happen, don't know how I'm going to keep my family, don't know, but I know you're going to take me, and I know you're going to help me, because your word says that that the Lord provides according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus. And then when bills come, boom, I get to pay them. Boom, I get to. We're still meeting here, right? God just continues to. And look how many folk we got. God still continues. Thank you, Jesus. But an immature believer, I don't know how I'm going to make bills. I don't know how to make payroll. I don't know how to. As we grow, we stop measuring life by circumstances and start measuring it by God's faithfulness. I'll say that again. As we grow, we stop measuring life by circumstances and start measuring it by God's faithfulness. That perspective fuels gratitude even in hardship. You can get to a point where you're in hardship, and this is next week. I'm actually going to, this is my next week's message, but you can get to a point where it's, but God. Oh, man, I almost lost my life, but God. Almost lost my family, but God. Almost lost my career, but God. Almost didn't make it, but God. What, but God. Growth builds perspective. You look at stuff differently. You have that attitude of gratitude. Woo, I would have been lost, but God. I would have been sick, but God. I mean, there was times being in South Africa, we get in a cab, and next thing I know, the guys that I was with, they get all, we about to fight because the cab drivers are upset that Americans needed, you know, they saw Uncle Deep Pockets. Ooh, Americans. Ooh. These South Africans are ready to fight. Now, I've never been scared on the mission field, but that was a time where my hair jumped up. What's going to happen here? But God. Went to El Salvador. Murder. I was in San Salvador when it was still murder capital of the world. Made it through. Went into some pretty dicey areas. But God. Made some mistakes, almost lost everything, but God, your perspective changes who you are. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Number three, growth produces contentment. This is a big one. Development in Christ anchors us in him, not in shifting desires of worldly comparisons. The deeper our roots in Christ, the more content you are in every season. We got to get to a place as believers that when you're rooted and grounded in Him, that you are totally content with where you're at. Contentment is the soil in which gratitude flourishes. Verse that we all screw up all the time. I'm sorry, not we all, other folks. Not y'all, y'all cool. Philippians 4, 11 through 13, but we all know Philippians 4, 13, shows that Paul's growth leading to contentment and thankfulness even in lack and hardship. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. How many folk have ever said that before a basketball game and before or for a test or before a job interview or something? That's not what that's for. Using scripture wrong. What it's saying here, Paul is saying, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. What he's saying, I don't care if I'm rich, I'm poor, I'm sick, I'm being stoned, I'm shipwrecked. I can do all these things because Christ in me gives me strength to overcome the shipwreck, the snake bite, the stoning, all that's Christ in me. Woo, I got me excited. Maybe I'm just preaching to myself today. That's all right. I'll get to say something tomorrow. That's all right. I'm okay. Maybe everybody's church will be excited. Maybe I'll call Pastor Darrell later. He'll be excited because he'll be watching. We can talk later and we can get excited together. You should get excited when about the things of Christ. You should be excited because He gives you strength. So when your perspective, when you're rooted and grounded, you can be like Paul. So you can be like, oh man, my marriage is this. My finances is this. My health is this. But you can say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Cindy can say, oh man, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You'll make it through the trials that you're going through. Because He's given you enough to get through. Number four, it grows, growth results in overflow. Paul says in Colossians chapter 2, verse 7, that as we grow, we abound. The word means to overflow, spill over, run over the edge. Spiritual development doesn't just stay inside. It produces an outward flow of thanksgiving, praise, and generosity. Development and growth in Christ produce gratitude because they deepen our awareness of grace. It shifts our perspective. It fosters contentment and leads us into overflow. Gratitude is not forced. It is the evidence of true spiritual maturity. In other words, gratitude is the inner posture of the heart, the recognition and awareness of grace, whereas thanksgiving is an outward expression of that gratitude, whether it be spoken, sung, or lived out in response to God. In other words, real thankfulness, you get to a point of awe. I have no words for you, God. I'm just in awe of your goodness, of your beauty, of your majesty, of how you've taken care of me, of how you provide my bills, of as you healed me physically, as you healed me spiritually, as you healed me mentally. I'm just in awe. I have no words. Think of it like this. Gratitude is the well inside, where thanksgiving is the overflow from the well. So in conclusion, development is the unfolding of your walk with Christ. Growth is the increase in faithfulness that flows from being rooted and grounded in Him. But sadly, my brothers and sisters, many followers of Christ stop short in their growth and remain undeveloped in their faith. So here's my challenge today. And then I'm going to get up on out of here. Stop being the egg and want to be the chicken. It's that simple. Stop living for, I'm just going to be the egg, I'm just going to be here. Growth means to be great. I believe everybody wants to be great. Nobody wakes up in the morning, I just want to be a loser. Lord, I just humbly want to be the loser. I want to be, the scripture says to be the head, not the tail. I've never heard anybody say, Lord, I want to be the tail and not the head. I want to be beneath and not above. Anyone ever heard that? Anyone use that script? No. We all want to be great. We want to be great in God. Not for our own pleasure, not so that we can get glorified, but it's so that His will be manifested here on the earth. Jaden, come play. We're going to pray and get on out of here. I'm done. So next week, we will get into But God. But this week, I pray that your meditation, that your prayer would be, Lord, develop me and grow me. It's going to take a while. It's going to take some blood, sweat, and tears. When I go to the gym, I don't just go in there and I start doing what I need to do and I get all bulked up. It takes a while. It hurts. Especially that I haven't been in over almost a year. Every time I go, a kidney stone. Then I go, I work out for a week, and then the week after, I'm like this walking. But then once I get through that, then I can start moving and I start doing what I need to do. If you ask Jesus to develop you, He'll do it. If you ask the Lord to grow you, He'll do it. Again, it's, are you talking His language? A wise man, and I've said this before, the reason why you don't get anything out of the scriptures is because you don't ask it anything. I'll say that again for those of hard hearing. The reason you don't get out of anything out of Scripture is because you don't ask it anything. You do, okay, listen, what are we going to read today? Oh, is that what we do in Scripture? Open the middle, boom, I'm in Psalms. Psalms 22, and you just start reading. Oh, 5 minutes is over, I've done my part. Let's go on with the day instead of asking. Holy Spirit, here is my question. How do I become a better wife? How to become a better husband? How to become a better pastor, a better friend? How do I receive eternal life? How do I get healed in my mind? How do I save my marriage? How do I? It's all, you're not asking the scripture. So you're not getting anything out of it. So now you become bored with God. Whoa, something just came. It's got a second wind. You get bored with God because He doesn't answer and do the stuff that you want done. As I always say, God's not boring, you're boring. So my prayer this week is that this week you guys would pray and meditate. Lord, develop me. Lord, grow me. Growth is hard. A few weeks ago, we talked about Romans 12, 1 and 2, transformation. The Greek word there means it's an inward transformation that works its way outward. But transformation hurts. Transformation's hard. But you gotta want it. I played sports in high school. I enjoyed the hurt. Embrace the suck. Oh man, this sucks. Embrace it. Because it's digging out the gold, the diamond that's in you, that's hidden. I asked Pastor Darryl, I said, Pastor Darryl, I want to go deeper. I want to, you know, in my musings with him. He said, oh, I'll push you. I said, let's go for it. iron sharpens iron. You never stop learning. You never stop developing. You never stop growing. So this week, I'm dead serious. Let's go somewhere. Lord, develop me, grow me, and it's going to hurt. You're going to call me up, Josh, this stinks. I asked Jesus to grow me, and now all hell's broken loose. Yeah, that's usually what happens. The enemy wants to, okay. We want to see if you're really about it, or you just lip service. Let's pray, and then we'll be dismissed. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for who you are. We thank you that you are a God that wants to grow us and develop us. Lord, we come with you, to you, with an attitude of gratitude. We thank you for breath in our lungs. We thank you for the life that you've given us. Now we ask, Heavenly Father, that you would teach us how to talk to you, to speak your language. Help us to be rooted and grounded in you. Help us to grow, and as we develop and grow, we start to bear fruit. Lord, let us not be a people that desire undevelopment, but Lord, help us to be not the egg, but to strive for maturity. We thank you for who you are. Bless everyone as they go home tonight. Keep them safe on the roads as they go home, as they go on to their next engagement. Bless those who aren't here today, Father. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for your mercies that are renewed every day. We thank you that your mercies, your grace, we get a fresh batch of grace each day, 365 days a year. We thank you that we don't have to live off yesterday's grace. So we thank you, Heavenly Father. We bless you. In your name we pray. Amen. Our third Saturday, Family Saturday, where we have no service, will be this, not this Saturday, but the 20th of this month. Next week, we'll talk about But God. And then when we get back, we're going to go through a small mini-series on the seven churches in Revelation chapter 2 and the prophetic timeline of where we're at. So tithes and offerings are over there. Thursdays at 7 o'clock, even for those who are watching online. If you want to join us for our midweek service, we've been going through the book of Genesis deep, so let us know on Facebook. And we'll see you next week. We love you guys.